cup of rain over here, Hilchos Pesach, our boys say. Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, you have to start learning Hilchos Pesach. So, right after Purim, you get trained in Hilchos Pesach. The first thing, of course, is throw out all the leftover Shalchmanis, your Mekahim,
bring it to the class.
Yeah. I don't mean throw out Chas Shalom, I mean get rid of it over here. Okay.
It's a skinny piece.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get straight to the point, because we don't have that much time. So, I want to talk a little bit about what we talk about every year, but it always needs chazara, is the oifen of bedikas chametz and cleaning for chametz. Because as we all know, even though I'm talking to men and not women, but aval pi kein, behind every great man there's a great woman, and who loves cleaning for Pesach. So, what happens is many times that people can get very carried away in a good way to get rid of every single crumb and check, you know, check the light bulbs and light fixtures, make sure that that one of your kids didn't you know, try to, when they were juggling Cheerios, that one didn't get stuck up in the lights, whatever it is. So people can start cleaning and going getting themselves very paranoid about every single crumb in every single place. So I want to talk about what you have to be clean and be boy the chametz for, and what's the geder b'chlal of the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. Okay, so the first thing is that it's true that there is. I'm not going to say that there's not an inyan Yisrael kedoyishim heim. That there was before. I'll be mocked. The Rosh says Yisrael kedoyishim heim. Klai Yisrael takes extra care by chametz that there shouldn't even. Sometimes some people have an extra minute that they're careful about every little piece of chametz to get rid of in the house, and that's why they would scrape the walls from the plaster. And there was such a thing Yisrael kedoyishim heim. But if it's going to come with a price, then you're going to lose your minuchas and nefesh for 6 weeks, you know, and things like that. So we have to know what the Ikra Halacha is. Okay, so the Ikra Halacha is the following. The Gemara says that really midoraisa, why do you have to be by the chametz? Midoraisa, you could do bittul. Bittul means that all the chametz in my rishus is hefker ka'afra da'ara, however you understand it, and therefore why do you have to be by the chametz at all? Just do bittul and get rid of it, and that's it. It's not mine. So there's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says because we're concerned that maybe you're not going to take your bittul seriously. You have hundreds of dollars worth of chametz in your pantry. Oh, bittul doesn't make sense. So therefore, since we're concerned that you're not going to take your bittul seriously, so therefore you got to get rid of it out of your rishos. So you could sell it to a guy, you could burn it, whatever it is. But you got to get it out of your rishos. So the bedika is to get you check all your house and clean it. Then you should get all the chametz out of your rishos. That's Rashi. Tosfos says because we're concerned that you're going to come to eat it. We're concerned that you're going to end up eating the chametz. Very makes a lot of sense. By chazer, you're not concerned that you're going to eat it. You know, you don't have to get rid of chazer because it's asti. Yeah, because chazer you never eat. So we're not concerned just because you'll have it in your house, you're going to end up eating it. But chametz, the whole year you eat a good, you know, you get a piece of cheese. So you get a good piece of herring. So what's herring without crackers? So you're going to go take a cracker if you have it available. So therefore, you got to get rid of the chametz. So you shouldn't come to eat it. Okay? What?
And then just sealing it in a
mechitza. If you have a mechitza in front of the chametz and you did bittul, then you're asking, yeah, but still Chazal implemented that it should be out of your rishus. It should be out of your rishus so that you're not concerned with this idea that we're not afraid of eating. Okay, so now let's think about that. The Gemara says, therefore, that if you are checking for chametz, do you have to check for little crumbs? What are you checking for? And when I say check, I'm talking about bedikas chametz, but in a bigger sense, I'm talking about what is it that we're cleaning out our houses from, in general, to make sure we don't have in the house. Okay? So, the Gemara says, you don't have to check for crumbs. You know why you don't have to check for crumbs? Because the crumbs are batel me'elayim. The crumbs, anyway, have no chashivas. They have no chashivas. So what that means is the following. It means, according to Rashi, what that means is that we're not concerned that you're not going to take the bittul seriously on a crumb. Why not? The crumb is anyway not important. So you don't have to get rid of the crumbs because the crumbs means you're not going to give extra chashivas to anyway. And according to Tosfos, you know what I mean? The reason the crumb is not chashuv is because it's dirty, it's gross. Who's picking up a crumb off the floor and eating it anyway? So therefore, since it's dirty and you're probably not going to eat it, you don't have to do bedikah against crumbs. There was Avram. I'm blanking out now. Gurvitz. Rabbi Ron Gurvitz, as Rosh Yeshiva Gate said, so he's a big Talmud of the Brisker Rav. Now imagine the Brisker Rav, imagine on Chometz, on the Briskers, you know, the very Machmer and everything. So Chometz, you know, so in Eretz Yisrael, you know, these little balatas, the little small tiles. So the Brisker Rav made a bracha, Asher Kedashan, Mimitzvah, Tzavitzvano, Al Bedikas Chometz, Al Bir Chometz, right, the Bedika. And then some of the Talmidim would be around right when he would say the bracha, and they would say Amen, and they would go check different rooms for him when he was getting older. He couldn't do it himself. So right away, the Briskerov says the bracha, and Rabbi Avraham Gurvitz is sitting right there, and he takes the candle and he gets down on the floor and starts checking in the crack between the balakas, between the tiles. So the Briskerov turns to him and says, and yeah, there's a bus gates there, Zuchendart, Epsagluska Yafa. What are you looking down there for? A cookie? What are you going to find over there exactly in the crack? You know, you're going to find a cookie in the crack? Meaning to say that the only thing we're concerned about is something that you may come to eat. A little crumb that's sitting in the crack, there's no sad anywhere you're going to come to eat it on Pesach. So therefore, Maker Adin, you don't have to check for that. Okay, so I said before, there is a Yisrael Kedosh pain, whatever, but if the person grew up held, he's not going to be matriach other people for that. For that, if he did, when he was young, he did it himself. But to go matriach other people, for that, he wasn't going to do. Because it's not the Ikra Allah. That's the point. That's what I'm saying. It's important to know the Ikra Allah. So therefore, that's the point. The point is that you don't have to go ahead and check for little tiny crumbs. I had one time a story. I went to Rav Scheinberg. I've said this over before. But I went to Rav Scheinberg, and I asked Rav Scheinberg about pants. They have a cuff on the bottom of the pants. So I asked Rav Scheinberg, I was going to tell, it was after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So I asked him, do you have to check cuffs? Do you have to check cuffs? That was a question. Do you have to check cuffs? So he yelled at me, for what? Let me check. What do you think? I'm that shatnez? I mean, what do you mean, for what? For chometz. Chometz? What are you going to find over there? Meaning to say, I said, well, what about pockets? It says you're supposed to check your pockets. Like we'll talk about. He said, no, because your pocket, maybe you had a cookie from a kiddush, you smack a cookie, and you know, you had eaten too much a little bit at the kiddush, so you stuck it in your pocket and you ran home, right? So then you can find something good in your pocket that you can eat. It's edible. But in your cuffs, what are you going to find? Some crumbs? So therefore, since there's no chash, you're going to come to eat it over there. He's like, you don't have to check that. It's only talking about a pocket, somewhere that you can actually find a cookie. Okay? So based on all this, now, however, let me just be mocked him. However, if there are crumbs in a place that you may come to eat it, then you do have to get rid of it. Okay? For example, if you have crumbs surrounding areas that hold dishes or food, so the crumb, even though you're not going to go ahead and go feast on the crumb, but maybe the crumb will fall into your food and then you'll end up eating it. And chametz is aser b'mashu. Okay? So therefore, what comes out is the following. In a place that there's no chash achila, that there's no concern that you're going to come to eat it, in a place that there's no concern that you're going to come to eat it, there, you do not have to check me'ikra halacha for crumbs. You don't have to check for crumbs. In a place that a crumb could fall into your food, that you should check for crumbs. Okay? So, for example,
it's more than just the achila, though. It's like you're checking for it. I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying. It's because out to the owning the chametz, you made a bittel already. So the bittel covers the crumbs. So and even according to Rashi, we're concerned you're not going to take your bittel seriously. And a little crumb, you'll take it seriously because it's takavata. So really, you don't have to check for the crumb, only for achila. That's what I'm saying. That's the point. So therefore, in your kitchen, where let's say your drawers, that your cabinets, that you put the plates, there you should take a check for crumbs, because over there maybe a crumb will fall into it. So there you should either check very carefully, or we'll talk about it in the shear of kashering, or you should line it. So if you line it, the crumbs that are in the corner can't get in, right? What?
Nothing. macaroni.
That's what I'm saying. So in your kitchen and stuff like
on
that.
On the floor somewhere.
No, so that's why a lot of people have a meeting.
And it gets on the crumb.
No, so you're right. You're right, but that's, I have a better thing. Let's say you're walking outside and you stepped on some sandwich that a guy was eating, and then you drag it into your house, and then there's a crumb in your house and the macaroon falls, the same problem. That's why a lot of people have a meeting. They don't eat off the floor. Anything off the floor, even though... During the year, you get the 3-second rule. But on Pesach, some people don't rely on the 3-second rule. Because the crumbs don't listen to the 3-second rule. So there are, because of that, exactly what you're saying, some people have a minute. They don't eat off the floor.
Or kids.
That's what I'm saying. So some people have that minute.
I mean, I like your thing. I call it check.
Right, okay, so that's what I'm saying. So now it's like this. So I have to live up to my reputation of being lenient.
Absolutely.
So
it's
like this.
But half of it. It's lenient because you know it so well. You can't be
so it's like this.
If you don't know.
So now, based on that is the following. Let's say you're going through your toy closet. So, some people, they'll take out every toy, take out all the bins from the closet, look at the bin, take out every toy, look in the bin, and then wipe off every toy. Wipe off, you know, like wash off. My mother-in-law would sit there washing off all the Lego. Put it, wash it all off, rub it, you know. So nice up. I mean, and then again, she starts cleaning for Pesach and Hanukkah. So I still remember clearly. I don't know if this is being recorded, but anyway, I went to my in-laws one time before Pesach, after Tu B'Shvat. Okay, we were going to go there for Pesach. So my father-in-law says, you know, we're already cleaning up. Just take whatever chametz we have in the house. Just take it. We're done with the chametz. It was like Tu B'Shvat. We're done with the chametz. Just take whatever we have. Okay, so I'm expecting we're going to walk home. You know, okay, fine. Like a half-open box of noodles. And like 3/4 of a package of crackers. Just get rid of it. I don't want it anymore. You know? So anyway, lemaisa halacha is that like this. As far as I know, they haven't come up with a good chocolate covered Lego recipe yet. You know, for Pesach. No one's eating that stuff. You're not eating the toys. So what? No. So lemaisa, there's no chashash achila over there. Really, that on the crumbs on the thing. So really, all you want to make sure is that there's nothing that you may come to eat. So what the Paiskim say is that the ikra thing that you're looking for is a sizable piece of chametz that technically a person would pick up off the ground and eat. So the like Paiskim in Lakewood used to say like a Cheerio. A Cheerio is like a sizable thing that a person could notice and pick up, and it's an edible piece of chametz. So a Cheerio is something that a person could look for. But like some either broken up pieces or things that are very dirty that you don't have to look for. So therefore, if you're looking, let's say, your toy bin closet, you could take out all the bins and look on the shelf. You don't see anything, so you're fine. You could, you know, if you really want to, you can open the bins and look. If there's chametz, if there's a sizable piece, you'll find it. You'll see it. But anything beyond that, you don't have to worry about. Okay? Now, that's why also, same thing. Now, so according to this, drawers, in your kids' rooms, right? Little kids running around, they could bring chametz anywhere. So any drawer that a little child could open on their own, you have to be concerned that maybe the little child opened it and dropped off their lunch in there, you know? So no, but there's a chash is that there is a sizable piece of chametz over there. So therefore, the drawers, maisa, you should be boidik them, but you don't have to. When I was growing up in my house, we sat on every single drawer in my sock drawer. When I was, every kid was obligated, was responsible, I should say, to clean their dresser. But you took out all the clothes, you sat with fantastic and a toothpick, and you would spray the corner and then toothpick it down and down all the corners and make sure there's nothing left. But you don't have to do that, really. The point is, if you want to check the sock drawer, you open the drawer, move it around, or take out the stuff, look and see if there's anything, and if there's not, put it back in.
You're going to wear the clothes to this table.
He's going to go into the sock drawer.
It's not true.
See something and say, I'm going to eat it.
It seems like it's too dark. There's one for crumbs, and then there's actual crumbs.
No, any sizable piece of chametz is a gezeiras chazal that they were misakin to get rid of it from your house because you may come to eat it. It's not true. You, if you're sitting there, you may, you know, what?
They say wait till you're 20 years old. You're going from checking the crumbs to as a kid.
Yeah.
In your house.
cumulative?
So that's a very good shayla. But pashto's not. Only crumbs that are sticky, that if you put them together in a ball, they'll stick. But stam crumbs on the floor do not create a kazayis. But there is a gemara. The gemara says that if you have a bowl that has dough on different parts of the bowl, since it's sticky, you can make it into a kazayis, that would be a problem. Okay? So bottom line is that places in the house that there's a chash, there's a Cheerio-sized piece of chametz, or a sizable piece of chametz, that's kedai to check for and get rid of. But crumbs, you don't have to wipe things down, anything like that.
But in your clothes drawer, you're going to wear clothes to the table.
What?
You're going to wear your clothes to the table.
You're worried about clothes. No, but the clothes themselves don't have crumbs. They just were washed.
And then you're putting a drawer with maybe crumbs on it, you know?
Yeah, unlikely that the stuff is going to... By the time you put it on, this, you know... Now, pockets, yes. For example, pocketbooks, right? A lady is in her purse. Very often, she'll maybe carry a fruit, and she'll go and take it. So there, she should be careful to clean out the pocketbook from crumbs, because it's very, very likely you may end up, you know, putting your hand in there, you have some crumbs, and it goes on the apple, and you'll eat it, right? Stuff like that. So there, or a pocket, you know, anything like that. You're right. Something that crumb could go onto the food, you should get rid of. They used to say the phone. The phone, people are eating on the phone, you know, talking on the phone and eating. So they used to say the phone you should wash very, clean off very well before Pesach. Because the phone has tons of chametz on it and stuff like that, you know, where the likelihood is. No, but there is like some, you know, who knows what. You know,
residue inside the little thing.
Yeah, some residue and who knows what. But what? No, I don't know if you have to. I'm just saying that was like the thing that they used to say. You know, they would say, what? That's for sure. Anyway, okay. So now the point is. Oh, what's up?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway, there's no chash achila. You don't have to check for anything more than a sizable piece and crumbs. You don't have to worry about mikra halacha at all. Only in places that there could be a chash achila. Okay. So that's a klal that you can take out for this. So, for example, also. So toy bins, bedroom drawers, all things like that, you just have to worry about sizable pieces, which technically aren't that hard to look for and clean for. Okay?
We're going to go home to our wives and tell them that the Rosh Hashiva said that you don't have, I mean, I just have vision of you getting a lot of phone calls.
Yeah. My wife said ever since you got smicha, you just started chafing up my kitchen. Ever since you got smicha, you just chafing up my kitchen. It used to be kosher when I was in charge. Now you came in charge with all your halachas. Bag? The bag. Should throw it out.
Yeah, the bag.
That's an oilam buzz. After. Well, no, but there could be sizable pieces in there.
Nobody would eat them.
Why? No, I'm saying, you're right. I'm not saying that, but there was a Takanas Chazal on any chametz which is a roi la'achila, then you have to get rid of it. That doesn't mean that it's in a place that you'll end up eating it. That's not the point. The point is that it's an atzmoi, it's a sizable piece of chametz.
Like babies' cups.
So sippy cups is not a shayla of chametz. Sippy cups is a shayla of crumbs. It's a shayla of washing it. You have to kasher it. So you don't want to wash it in the same Pesach tiksek that you're washing it in the chametz tiksek. That's the issue. It's not because it has crumbs on it. It's because it was washed in a hot sink with chametz, and now you're going to wash it in the Pesach sink. That's the problem. If you want to wash it in the bathroom, you can keep it. If you wash it in the bathroom, technically you don't have to get a new Pesach thick cup. I think people do, but... Yeah, it could be. Okay. And it's probably all contained, correct. Yeah, I think the oilam generally does get rid of the vacuum bags. Yeah, I think that's, you know... Now, Okay, so that's pretty much how the cleaning that's necessary. In the kitchen, we'll talk about how to kasher and how to clean the cat. That's something. What about people that are going away? What's this? So Lamaisa is like this. Is that I remember I was with the Rav in Lakewood, in Westgate, and he said, and a guy came in over there, and we were all together in the room, and a guy came in and he said to the Rav, I'm selling the whole house. So the Rav said to him, why selling the whole house? Well, I'm going away. Are you going away? Okay, but why don't you just clean for Pesach and make a bedikah? Because the mitzvah to check the house for Pesach. Why are you selling it? So he says, you're crazy. You're going to start wiping things down. No, you don't have to wipe things down. All you got to do, and he basically said, more or less using the formula that we're saying, and he said, listen, all the cabinets and the furniture and everything, that you could close off. All you got to worry about is the floor space. Between furniture, the open floor space. All you got to do is sweep it. Sweep your house, vacuum properly, the open floor space. All the furniture and closets you could sell. But the room itself, you don't sell, and you're making the mitzvah of bedikas chametz if you do that. You don't have to sell it to the guy. So he says, my wife would rather sell the house than get away with such a leniency.
What if you have to come in during Pesach?
Right? I'm going to rely on this leniency. I'm barely, I would rather sell the house. So that's what he's used to say, is that people get so caught up with all the chumras, is that it ends up leading to a kula. The real thing is that Chazal don't want you to sell the house. Chazal want you to do the mitzvah bedikah. If you know how to do bedikah, it's not so complicated. Really, mikra halacha. Again, these people aren't going to be there. So if they're not going to be there, so you don't have to worry about crumbs at all. You don't have to worry about anything. All the closets and the cabinets and everything sell, but the house itself is takanas Chazal, the mekayim bedikah on it. So therefore, if you're going to, even if you're going away, but still mekayim the mitzvah bedikah the night before you leave, basically, just clean up pretty much, put everything away, and then you point at the floor space and the rest, the cabinets you sell. But the floor space in the house, that's the chiyuv bedikah, and you mekayim the mitzvah by doing that. You don't make a bracha, but you mekayim the mitzvah.
Yes,
but it's not your house. This house, what are you doing? You're selling it to the guy. That's like getting rid of the mitzvah. So, now, I'm not saying Rabban hold like that, but it was just an interesting thing to point out, that many times people, because they're so used to all the chumras, they don't want to rely on the kula, even though that's really going to be better for them.
30 days.
Well, it depends. If you're going to come, let's say a guy's leaving before Purim, but he's coming back for Yom Tov, then he's got to check before he leaves. But if he's not going to be back within 30 days, it's Chayav Bedikah. Right. No. If a guy's leaving before Purim, and he's not coming back for Yom Tov, he doesn't have to. That doesn't mean he can own chametz. You got to figure out how to make sure you don't own the chametz, obviously. Sell it, Now, fine. So now, let's just cover some of the... One big kasha on this whole thing that I'm saying is that it's brought down to Shem the Vilna Goyen, that the Vilna Goyen would check his svarim. The Vilna Goyen would check the svarim. So the chayra, there was no slices of bread in the svarim, right? So what was he worried about?
Crumbs.
So the chayra in the Vilna Goyen, it says that he checks for crumbs, not like our whole thing that we're saying. So I saw today in the Soidi Yeshurin, it's written by Rafelda from Toronto. So it's a very interesting sefer because it's like he wrote it so long ago that like he was a contemporary with everyone that we call with like Abraham Moshe and these things. Like it's a very interesting sefer. But anyway, he writes over there that it's pasha that the Vilna Goyen was not checking Me'ikar Halacha. Me'ikar Halacha, you're not mechuyev to check for crumbs. So Vilna Goyen was going beyond the letter of the law, but you're not mechuyev to do that. Okay. However, I always thought that maybe the pshat in the Vilna Goyen was is that svarim that you use by the table, then the crumbs from the svarim could fall into the food. So the svarim that you use by the table, that there's crumbs in them, and you're going to bring it to the table, that could be a problem.
In any case, you can't bring them.
What?
I mean, you're checking for crumbs. Even if you check for crumbs, what do you think? You check well enough, you can bring it to the table.
You did. What do you mean? That's what I'm saying.
As far as that
the Vilna Goyen did more or less pretty good. It could be the Vilna Goyen went through page by page.
With a torch. With a torch.
In Israel, take a toothbrush and
so Lemaisa, Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a bookcase of like Pesach Svarim, whatever, but like a Shas, whatever. But everything else he sells for Pesach because he can't check it. He sells all his Svarim for Pesach. He doesn't have Svarim over Pesach, just the stuff that he uses, whatever, and that he checks. So there are people like that. You know, I had a neighbor in Silver Spring even when I growing up that he would sell all the Svarim.
So he also had them all memorized.
He happened to be a Dal Tamachal from that guy, but anyway, so Lemaisa, I don't think the Vilna Goyen means Mikra Halacha, you're mechuyev to check. It was a chumrah of the Vilna Goyen, but that is true, that the Svarim that you do use by, you know, week by week by the table, you know, that you know there's chametz in them, you should be careful either to check them, or better yet, you know, I think the best thing, what people do is some people have a straight out minig, if they don't bring Svarim b'chlal, they don't put them on the table.
Could it be that they're well guarded inside a safer? If you read a cookie and then close the book and then open it up, you know, a year later, it'll still be a nice little cookie.
There for what? A real piece? That's pretty unlikely. Huh? I mean, I don't know what the binding was like back then, but you know. Now let's just wrap up a few minutes because we started late. Whoever has to leave can leave. I'm just going to say a few things. That was about cleaning. But what about the etzim b'dikas chametz? Okay. So the big kasha everyone has is, what in the world are we doing b'dikas chametz? I mean, mimanosha. If you're waking up and cleaning, starting to clean on b'dikas chametz night, you're probably in big trouble anyway, right? You're not. And if you cleaned already, candles. Well, what are you doing? You already cleaned top to bottom. So I found to this kasha three mahalchim. There's three mahalchim on this kasha. One mahalach is brought down in the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva says that's why in the olden days Bedika took a couple hours. You know, a good solid couple hours that they would check and they would, you know, go through every nook and cranny because the houses weren't that big and they didn't clean before. Their cleaning was the night of Bedika's Chavit. That was it. They checked the crap. They didn't have food to waste. If crumbs fell, they probably ate them. I'm saying, you know, like they didn't have some extra food lying all over the place. So they got ready then. So that was the Ikar Bedika. Nowadays, how long does it take? A lot of people, half hour, they're done. So he says, shot, why we do it so fast and we don't take the Bedika so seriously? It's goofy because of this, because we cleaned already. That's one mahal. Rav Singer told me that Rav Aaron Schechter, he's a very big, you know, machmer or whatever. So he would spend hours on the Bedikas Chametz. So he said that Rav Hutner, who's Rav Shiva and Chaim, before the Rebbe, his Rebbe, at like 10 o'clock, whatever, 11:30, I don't know what time, 10:30, would call him up on the phone, and he says, hello, yeah, this is Yitzchak Hutner speaking. You're done your Bedika now. You've done enough. Meaning, like he knew that he was going to be machmer for somebody. He told him, you don't have to be, you know. But the point is that that's one mahalach. There's another mahalach, a merzik mahalach from the Reb Shlomo Zalman. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says that nowadays the ikar of the bedika is not to check for chametz, because any place that was clean, there's no chametz in it. The ikar of the bedika is what? The ikar of the bedika is to check and make sure that you didn't forget to clean that space. You're goofa checking to make sure that it was clean. So you go into the room, you open the door with the flashlight, and you say, honey, did you clean this room? Yeah, okay, next.
if that's the reason, it doesn't make more sense to do it with the light on.
Maybe. Right, so Lemaisa, Reb Shlomo Zalman says you don't have to turn the light off.
Right.
So they say in the bottom, shot is because of this shita, because he holds you're not really checking anyway for the chametz. So he holds what you're really checking for is to make sure that it was cleaned. Now, Lemaisa, it's a little weird, because then, how are you doing the Takanas Chazal of checking for chametz with a nair and a bracha, like, what's going on? So, some people take a similar attitude, a similar method, but they add a knetch. And they say, that really, even though the real minig originally why we put down 10 pieces of chametz is a lot of reasons for it. There's a lot of Kabbalistic reasons, you probably know better than I do, a lot of Kabbalistic reasons why there's 10 pieces put out. I even saw pshat today that one of the 10 reasons is to get rid of the chametz, and since we start cleaning for chametz by Purim, so it's a symbol, it's connected to the 10 sons of Haman. I don't know what's going on, but there's a lot of Ari and Alpi other things, reasons to put out 10 pieces of chametz. But those 10 pieces of chametz back then were ma'ak of the bedika. There wasn't mikra Allah. But nowadays, some people say that the only way you can make a bracha on the bedika is if you put out the 10 pieces. Because since we checked already, so b'meila, if you don't put out the 10 pieces, you're not checking for chametz. So that's what some people want to say, and that's brought down in the Shaar Tzion, even says such a thing. He says, "Bizmanenu yesh yisoid b'halacha," for this minute. And the Chari, that's what he means, is this concept that if you're not going to check for the chametz, there's going to be chametz there. Okay, so those are the three pshatim. Just one thing that a lot of people want to know is that you're allowed to use a flashlight, and the halacha is yes. Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron and most people held you're allowed to use a flashlight because the idea of the candle is that to help you get into the nook and cranny. And nowadays we're more accustomed to using a flashlight than a candle. Fakir. The halacha is you're not allowed to use an oil candle. Why? Because you're afraid it's going to spill. Nowadays, and you're not going to check properly. Nowadays, with the wax, you're afraid the wax is going to drip. You're not going to clean properly if you use wax. So therefore, you're allowed to use a flashlight. Third thing people ask all the time, do you have to turn off the lights? You have to turn off the lights. So the pashta says that you should, because the whole point of the flashlight is to see, like the Chazal said, the candle works well at night. But so most places can say you do not need to turn off the light because the Ikar Takana was at night, and you're doing it at night. And the light doesn't really bother you, but the truth of the matter is that very often you see that the flashlight works better with the lights off. You can do whatever, I didn't see a concrete halacha, yesh oimim like this, yesh oimim like that, so I think you'll be fine either way you go on that, okay? I'm sorry I was late.